Father God, we just thank you, Father. Heere God, that you're a good, good Father, Father. And that, Lord, that where you've moved mountains, Father, we will see, Lord God, you move it again. Like we sang right at the end, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that you hear us when we speak, Father. Maar Heere, u hoor elke gebed van ons, Heere, elke versoek van ons, Heere, u is nie doof nie, Heere. U hoor en u antwoord. En ons sê vir u dankie daarvoor in Jesus' naam. So, in my voorbereiding op een stadium, het ek net vir my die prentjie gegee van die see wat so kom teen sandsteen. Ek weet nie of julle sandsteen ken nie, maar sandsteenrotse, het verskil tussen granietrotse. So sandsteen is een bietjie meer brittle as graniet. Maar oor tyd kom die see, die sandsteen, en hy spoel dit weg, dit verdwyn. En as jy gaan kyk by die see, en waar ook gaan kyk, as jy sien die see maak, selfs die klip harde rots, die see maak, it makes inroads into those hard places. En wat ek net die Here vir my gevoel het, die Here vir my sê is, you know, when we pray, it's like, can we control the waves of the sea? We can't control the waves of the sea. But when we pray and we're asking for something, it's like the waves. He creates the waves that washes things away. So as I say, maybe obstacles in ons levens is, sometimes is it van sand gemaakt. Die wind waai en as niks oor. Dit is vinnig. Een dag of twee en is voorbij. Partykeer is die goed een bykie harder sandsteen, conglomeraat, vir partij mense weet wat conglomeraat is, en partykeer is die graniet. Maar die see kan enig iets, as die rechte golwe kom, die hulle wel gesien het op die, as die wys na die storms gekom het, rivier gekom het, hierdie massieve boulders, wat jy met huiskrane kry om te skuif, is net so opgelicht hier die water en geskuif, uit die pad. En, so as ons praat van gebed, en ons praat oor gebed, dan elke keer as ons bid, is hier die prentjie in my kop van, die Here, maak hier die waves, en somtijds vat het lang. En we have to persist, we have to endure and pray. Partij keer is het vinnig. Maar vir oggend praat ons meer oor die persistent prayer. Die prayer that continues. Soos bijvoorbeeld, want ek gebid vir oggend vir reen. So, hoe lang bid ons nou al vir reen? Een dag, een week, een jaar, is nou een bykie langer as een week nie. So, partij van ons is nou een bykie gepanik, ons het al Jojo tanks op, en ons het nou al water wat in die spen staan, net vir daai ingeval. En, maar die punt is, ons is besig om te bid en te vra, en deur dit verander die Here ons hart. So ek vind net, begin met skrif, John 15:15-16, ek gaan dit in Afrikaans lees, so ek noem julle nie meer diensknegte nie, omdat die diensknegt nie weet wat sy Heer doen nie, maar ek het julle vriende genoem, omdat ek alles wat ek van my Vader gehoor het aan julle bekend gemaak het. Julle het my nie uitverkies nie, maar ek het julle uitverkies en julle aangestel om vrug te dra en dat julle vrug kan bly, sodat wat julle die Vader ook al in my naam vra, dat julle dit kan gee. Ek weet nie wie van julle daar 40 dae gebed, stikkies doen elke dag nie. So, iewers is word daar ook van hiervan gepraat. So, en Ras het ook gepreek oor van, Jesus says that we are his friends. And he actually wants to share his heart with us. Not just facts, he wants to share his heart with us. And when we are his friends, we can go to the Father and ask for anything, and he will do it. The Father will do it because we are his friends. We are sons of God. We have authority. Sometimes it feels like God doesn't hear us, but God actually hears us. And we are being changed as we pray, as we seek God, for whatever it is in our lives that is happening. And on another scripture, there's similar, just one chapter further on, John 16:23-24, in that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you receive that your joy may be full. So is hierdie eindelijk, die skrif sê, dat die Here weet precies wat ons nodig het. Ja, julle ken die skrif. Die Here weet wat ons nodig het, maar toch wil hy ons moet van vra. Dis daai gebed wat die golf in die gang sit, wat die klipje gaan skuif. Ons het elkeen die Here kom en hy in Jesus sê vir ons baie duidelik ask and you receive. Ask not and you receive not. En is partykeer in ons Afrikaanse kultuur spesifiek is dit so half ons vra nie maklik vir goed nie, ons vra nie maklik vir hulp nie. Ons wil goed op ons eie doen. Maar van die Here staan is He is chosen in his sovereigniteit, ek kan nie die Engelse woorde uitkry nie, dat die manier hoe hy werk op die aarde is, dat ons vra en hy doen. But we have to ask. En somtijds moet ons 'n bietjie langer vra as net 'n week, soos vir die reën. Gaan die Here reën stuur? Wat dink julle? Gaan die Here reën stuur? Yes, die reën kom. Ek weet die reën gaan kom. Maar in die tussentyd moet ons bid. En soos ons bid, werk die Here aan ons harte, want party van ons se harte is nie noodwendig so suiwer as dit kom by hoekom ons dan wil reën hê. Ons wil nie reën hê nie omdat ons nie ongemak wil hê nie, om ons selfsugtig of wat ook al, maar my punt kom om regtig te connect met wat die Here se wil is en wat Jesus sê wat sy hart is. Want sy hart is meer as net om reën te stuur om die aarde nat te maak. Sy hart is soveel meer en groter as dit. Die Here wil sy gees uitstort op hierdie aarde, op hierdie streek van ons. En soos Dawid sê in Psalm, die hert smag na waterstrome. En in ons daar soveel voorbeelde in die Bybel waar die Here fisiese goed gebruik om iets te verduidelik in die gees. En daar is 'n net soos daar 'n droogte is daar buite in die natuur, is daar 'n geestelike droogte ook in hierdie streek. Die twee loop hand aan hand. En soos om Angus sê, ons bid, ons doen die biddag, en is alles deel van om ons hart te connect met die Here se hart. Sy hart is meer as om net vir ons reën te gee. Sy hart is for justice, for mercy. As jy oor kan die 1-1 gaan op die Cape Flats, daar is baie goed daar, that needs mercy and justice. En ons kan aan hierdie kant sit en dink, we are fine, but I tell you, God is saying it's not fine. And we have to pray. And as we pray, he's going to change our hearts. So we can move forward together. So ek het 'n stukkie wat ek wil lees, is die gelykenis van die, weet jy wat is in Afrikaans nie? The persistent widow. Julle ken dit seker allemaal, nie? Maar ons gaan gou 'n bietjie gesels oor vanoggend. Ek het nie baie tyd hier, ons het lekker lank ge-worship. So, Nee, is goed, ek was lekker. Ek het baie geniet. Ek gaan Afrikaans vir julle lees hierso. Dit is 'n bietjie klein geskryf, so julle moet nie verskoon nie, afkyk so. Julle kan volg in die Engels. En hy het ook aan hulle gelykenis vertel met die oog daarop dat 'n mens geduldig moet bid en nie moedeloos word nie. So voor ons verder gaan, dit is hoekom Jesus dit sê. In die Engels sê dit, that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So somtyds sê mense, joeg nee, ek bid nou al vir 10 jaar vir hierdie ding nee, ek het nie geloof nie. Ek wil sê, as jy 10 jaar vir dieselfde ding bid, beteken dat jy het geloof, want jy bid nog steeds. You are still praying. That means you have faith. Huh? Wat sê Hebrews 11? Faith is a substance of, of the things we don't see. So, ons het hoop, as al hoop is al geloof. So of jy 10 jaar vat en of jy 20 jaar vat, is okay. En die ander ding, this is amazing, ons gebed, there's very few things that we can leave on earth. You agree? When we die? But the one thing we can leave on earth is our prayers. Because even if we die today, whatever we prayed this morning, whatever we prayed yesterday, all those requests are before God and He answers them even if we are not here. So if we pray for the next generation, we're praying for things that we're not, that ons lank kan nie meer hier wees nie. Net stof en bene. But we can influence more than just the little bit that we see, more than the time we can see. Prayer transcends time and space. Ons kan hier vanaand vir iemand bid in Egypte, of as ons, hoeveel keer as ons vir die missions, that's missions in Afrikaans, uitreike, ja, die uitreike, as ons vir die uitreikspanne bid, Hoeveel van julle was op 'n uitreik al gewees? Baie van julle seker nê. Dan bid ons vir mense op 'n uitreik en dan sê die ou jeug nê, ek sal nie glo nie. Ek het die oggend opgestaan en dan bid ons hierson dan voel ons in 'n bid vir ouens wat siek is of wat ook al en ons bid vir genesing en dan sê die ou hy staan op die oggend daar in Indië en hy skiet kat en hy chippy en enamel en 'n uur later is hy fine en hy kan aangaan met die uitreik. Dis ver weg. Staan julle? Dis ver weg. Ons wil dit so vinnig net na ons kyk, maar prayer is not a gift for just for us. Prayer is so powerful. It's for the world. We can influence the whole world through our prayer. Your prayer, one prayer can change the world. If we pray it in faith and we don't doubt. So I really want to encourage you this morning to keep on praying. Your prayers matter. And the devil tells us that our prayers does not matter. But the thing is, it's a lie. It's a big lie. Because our prayers matter. The one thing that we don't ever have to worry is about interpretation. God knows what's going on in our heart. Sometimes our mouth and our heart sort of, you know, we struggle to say what we feel or what we, you know, what we see. But for God, God understands that. If we open our mouth and we speak and we ask, God will respond. We don't have to get the words 100% right. You know, it's soos in Hoesele, 'n goeie begrip het net 'n halwe woord nodig. So we're dealing with God, so you can deal with half words. You know, halwe woordjies. Okay. En nou gaan ek verder aan die son vers 2 en gesê, daar was 'n regter in 'n stad wat God nie gevrees en geen mens ontsien het nie. En daar was in daardie stad 'n weduwee en sy het gedurig na hom gekom en gesê, doen reg aan my teenoor my teepartytjie. En 'n tyd lank wou hy nie, maar daarna het hy by homself gesê, al vrees ek God nie en al ontsien ek geen mens nie, tog sal ek, omdat hierdie weduwee my moeite gee, aan haar reg doen, sodat sy nie eindelik kom en my in die gesig sla nie. Toe sê die Here, dis nou Jesus, hoor wat die onregverdige regter sê, sal God dan nie reg doen aan sy uitverkorenes wat dag en nag tot hom roep nie, al is hy ook lankmoedig in hulle geval, ek sê vir julle, dat hy gou aan hulle sal reg doen, maar as die seun van die mens kom, sal hy wel die geloof op die aarde vind. Dit is daai 10 jaar story. So jy bid vir daai familielid vir jou vir redding, vir 25 jaar nou al. So, gaan jy aanhou bid. Hoe sê hulle, it's not over till it's over, until the fat lady sang. We pray till the end. So a simple example is, like my dad got sick in 2010. Actually before the time, and I'm really thankful for God for that, that he spoke to me beforehand. He told me that he's going to become sick and he's going to die. So I prayed, but you know what? I did not give up until he died. I just, even though God said, no, this is going to kill him, he's going to die, I did not give up. Because you know what the word says? You know, there's two examples in the Old Testament where, you know, God said, okay, I'll be gracious, I'll give 15 years back or whatever, I'll give you another 15 years. So, you know, we sort of, as human nature, we get tired and we just want to give up. But God doesn't want us to get tired and give up. He wants us to be like this widow. So if you look at this widow, so I just want to page down in my notes so I can get to the same page. So I just want to say, so there's a couple of people in this parable, in hierdie gelykenis. Ons die regter, ons het die weduwee, en ons het hierdie teepartytjie, hierdie adversary. So net vir die voorbeeld, sê maar nou, dit was haar landlord gewees. Wat is a landlord in Afrikaans? Ek het geen idee nie. A landlord. En die over die landlord het haar op die straat gesit, sy het al haar huur betaal, en vir geen rede het hy haar net op die straat gesit. En nou is sy in die moeilikheid, want sy is 'n weduwee. 'n Weduwee in daai tyd is baie anders as 'n weduwee vandag. Weduwees kon nie regtig geld in mekaar, hulle het geen eiendom gehad, hulle het 'n boerderygemeenskap. As jy nie grond gehad het nie, was jy in die moeilikheid. Binne kon jy nie jy kon nie oes nie. Jy kon nie plant nie, jy kon nie oes nie. En dit sê sy is in die stad. So ons sê maar nou dis 'n die landlord. Wie weet wat 'n landlord in Afrikaans is? Die verhuurder. Aha. Okay, die verhuurder het op straat gesit en sy kom nou aan mekaar daar hierdie regter toe. En dan is daar God in hierdie storie. En daar is ook die mense wat die regter net nie ag nie. Soos ons kyk na die weduwee, die feit dat sy onregmatig op die straat gesit is, is 'n ware en 'n egte behoefte. Waar sy my woordeboek uitgekom nou. Sy het regtig hierdie behoefte gehad. Sy regte behoefte. Daar's niks fout gewees met haar behoefte nie. Sy het hierdie teepartytjie gehad, hierdie adversary. She could not solve her own problem. We agree. She couldn't do it herself. She was a widow in the so in daai tyd het 'n weduwee weinig status gehad. En mense het nie na haar geluister nie en haar nie geag nie. Want sy het nie 'n man gehad wat langs haar gestaan het nie. Maar die een ding van die weduwee is en dis wat Jesus bedoel sê, she was persistent. She never gave up. She just went on and went on and went on until she got justice. And she got her space back and she could move back into her flat. For argument's sake. It could be 100 other things. Ons maak hom net daai ene, vir voorbeeld. En dan kyk ons na die judge. So as ons gaan kyk na die regter, die gelykenis is nie om verduidelik wie God is nie. Dis kontrasterend. Dit wil vir ons sê, kyk waar is hierdie regter. Hierdie ou is 'n normale ou op aarde. Weet, normal human being. Bietjie meer unrighteous is die gemiddelde ou miskien. He doesn't fear God. Hy is nie gelowige nie. He doesn't respect man. Hy's 'n regter. Weet, hy weet alles. Hy weet baie. Hy het al baie ouens na die kruis toe gestuur of wat ook al. Hy het al baie goed gedoen. Niemand kan vir hom iets vertel nie. He has seen human condition at its worst. As jy 'n regter is in die regte werk en jy werk met daai tipe sake, it's like selfs as jy hospitale, die mense wat you deal with the worst side of life. The stuff that people do and the people that land up in hospital for whatever reason. He had no compassion. He didn't care about this widow. He didn't worry about her. He didn't worry about her pain. He didn't worry that she was sleeping on the street. Sy nie stof daar iewers 'n plekie moes kry. Sy onveilig was nie. He was just unwilling to help her and he ignored her for a long time. And then eventually, even this unrighteous, and this is the thing about this parable, even this unrighteous judge, even though he's so unrighteous, doesn't fear God, doesn't respect man, eventually he gives in. And he gives her justice. Eventually. Not for any good reason. Really not for no good reason. I've got it up there. Because he says in the English, she bothered him. She keeps on bothering him. And he fears that she will beat him down with a continual coming. Die Afrikaans sê, sy gaan hom in die gesig slaan. Hy raak nou bang. Want sy kom elke oggend, elke middag, elke aand is sy daar. As hy uitgaan vir middagete, dan sit hy by die kafeetjie en kyk vir hom. En sê, wat gaan jy doen vir my? As hy die oggend gaan draf, dan staan sy langs die pad en waai vir hom. Terwyl hy verby draf. Sy gee hom geen ruskans om te rus nie. Want sy is desperaat. En daar is niemand anders wat haar kan help nie. Sy is hulpeloos op haar eie. Net hierdie ou kan haar help. En dan doen hy dit. En dis wat Jesus probeer sê, dat hierdie regter, teenoor God, God is a good God. Ons het gesing vanoggend, he's a good, good father. He is faithful. He is just. He hears us. He listens to us. When we cry out, he will help. He will not ignore us. Isn't that awesome? So is this nou, dan in Jesus, doen hy nog klein bietjie, en op die einde, dan vra hy 3 vrae. Dit wat opgelet het, Jesus vra baie vrae vir die mense, en dan vra hy vir hulle moet 'n bietjie dink, en van hulle kant af ook. They must think from their side as well, not just give the facts. And he says, will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will God delay? Will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? Those are the 3 questions. So will not God give justice to his elect, who cry day and night? Yes is the answer. Yes, he will give justice. And he will give it speedily. Will God delay? No, God will not delay. Does God delay? No, he doesn't delay. He does it as quickly as possible. We determine often the speed. Not God. God is sovereign. Sometimes he's waiting for us to come in line, to get our heart right. See, if you look at this story, are we the judge? Are we the widow? Are we the adversary? Who do you think are we in the story? The widow. Yes, we are the widow in the story because I don't know about you. We got needs and desires, and our friends have got needs and desires. Family, colleagues go through tough times, rough times, and we all have problems. But guess what? We can't fix on our own. We just don't have the power. We just don't have the tools. We just don't have the knowledge. We just can't do it ourselves. We have all have adversaries. Sometime during our life, we have adversaries. The difference between us and the widow is that it's our position. Because our position is not that of a widow. We are in the story that sort of we fit into that, but we are not the widow where we stand before God. We are his sons and we are his daughters, and we actually have authority on this earth. And we can pray and we can ask, and God will move. Sometimes it's slow, sometimes it's fast. But God will move. We don't have to, you know, there's so many times where you have no idea what to do. The situation just seems so desperate, out of control, and you can't, in the natural, jy kan dink en sê, okay, ons gaan dit doen, plan A, plan B, dan C, en is dit die werk, miskien D, en E, en F, en G, en H. Ons hardop uit ons plannetjie uit. And then is the question, just to pray, just to trust God. Because he hears, he listens. So, in our lives, just two examples. So we got married in 98, and not long after we got married, we decided we're going to, you know, we're not that young, and we're going to start with a family. And then nothing happened for some time. And we did the natural thing. Went to see the doctors. And the report wasn't great. He was saying, oh, maybe just go directly for in vitro. You know, if that doesn't work, adoption maybe is a good option. So we had to struggle through that for a couple of months. I mean, that wasn't that long, actually. But it was tough going through that. And eventually, God spoke to me. It took me a while to pray through it and say, is it God's will? And often this is the big question in our hearts. Is it God's will? What is God's will? And, you know, we get the scriptures at the end, but, you know, we've got desires in our hearts. As long as the desire is there, you pray. If you don't have the desire, stop, you know. But as long as you have the desire, and it took me, maybe it took us a year and a half, 2 years, I don't know. It took a while for me to get to the point where I realized it was God's will. And God spoke to me and I knew it was his will that we're going to have kids and we don't have to worry about it. My wife, it took her a couple of more months, but eventually God spoke to her too. And we have a 17, or almost 17-year-old boy that's taller than what I am at the moment, and two beautiful twin daughters, because after he was born, we were so, you know, we're so barren, surely we cannot have more kids, so we didn't even think about anything else, so we were pregnant before we, you know, before we actually thought about it. So, the reason why I'm saying that is, so after that, there was many people that come across our path that couldn't have kids, that we knew in a relationship, and that we prayed for, that I prayed for, many. Colleagues at work had to go like 6 or 7 or 8 times for in vitros. And then the Lord just spoke to me and said, pray for them. And I prayed for the one guy, I prayed once. I remember, once. And then he came back and said they're pregnant. And there was, and after there was another couple that that got pregnant with twins through in vitro. And God said, pray for them. They need another child. There's going to be another one. So I prayed for them. What I didn't know is that she had been sterilized. She still had a child. So again, I didn't pray long. It was really just God said, and I prayed, and I heard afterwards. You know, it wasn't like a main thing. And there's many other instances, like we had a doctor, a GP, and we heard, you know, like over time you build a relationship with your GP. And at some point in time, she mentions that they're moving to a smaller house. And I said, why are you moving to a smaller house? And she says, no, we, you know, it's been many years and we're trying to have kids and we can't have kids. So we're actually going to scale down now. You know, this big house, we built this big house for kids and there's nothing happening. So when I walked out, God said, you know, just pray for them. So I prayed for them, forgot about it. She's no longer a GP because they had to move again because they have kids. She's too busy to be a GP. You know, and then, and anything, this is those things that God just says and I pray. And then there's good friends of ours that got married when our daughters were just in the womb. So they are turning 15 this year. Sorry. I've been praying continually for them for years and years and years. And at the beginning of last year, Ross was saying to me, so what's happening? I said, nothing. But I'm not giving up hope. I'm still praying. They're still alive. They can still have kids. They're getting older, but ain't impossible. Sarah got a child in her 80s or 90s. So last year, I remember the day I was driving. I was praying, not necessarily every day, because I have to pray for everybody every day. You know, I'm not going to work or do anything else because the list is too long. But I'm praying for them regularly, at least every couple of days. And I was driving to town, and the Lord just put them on my heart, and I prayed for them for maybe an hour, hour and a half. It was a long time. And afterwards, I felt a release, and you know, life went on, and they're pregnant. And the baby's coming in a month. So I really want to encourage you this morning that God hears our prayers. It's like the waves. When we pray, the waves get in action. It's happening. We have no control of the waves. We don't know how long that rock is going to take before it crumbles, but I can guarantee you it will crumble. Because this is the other thing I want to say. When it comes to those sort of things, personal things, it's difficult if you don't ask somebody, brother, sister, my broer, my pa, what to call, do you want to get saved? You know, you don't ask him that. They're gonna say, nah, I've got a good life. I don't need to be saved. That's not the question. But it comes to like these things, children or marriage. I went to them a year and a half ago, just before that, end of the previous year, and I asked the guy, so do you still want kids? Do you want kids? And he said, yes, that you would love kids, still would love kids. No, it's probably not that going to happen, but he'd love kids. And then there's another one, friends of ours. So I'm not giving names, you know. You don't need to know their names. So it's a person we know. I can call them, so you don't even know if it's male or female. So we've known them for a while. In fact, we're married 20 years this year, and we knew them for before we got married. So again, it's one of those cases. At a one point, I went to them and said, do you want to get married still? I'm praying for you. I'm praying to you. I'm still praying for you. I know it's like a decade now, but there's nothing on the horizon, nothing happening. There's no relationships, no nothing. They're just very busy, you know, doing things, good things. And they said, yes, I struggled with God, and yes, I still want to get married. So I don't know how many years it was. 15 years? I don't know. 15 years later, how many years? Long time. And they've been married 2-3 years now. So sometimes it takes time. Sometimes you want to pray. And while we are praying, I'm going to go to that slide. That's slide 18, Audrey. Because while we are praying, we are confronted with a lot of stuff. We're confronted by the fact that we are helpless. You know what? I can do a lot of things, but I can't make somebody pregnant. I can do a lot of stuff, but I can't make somebody fall in love with somebody else, and the feeling is mutual. You know that? Sometimes there's love, but the other person's not interested. So it's two parties. It's a miracle. That two people can fall in love. And as we go along, you know, our motives are purified. It really is. Same with the rain, whatever. It's like as we pray, as we spend time in God's presence, because Jesus is our friend and he's speaking his heart, he's communicating to us, over time, our prayer is going to become more in line with God's will. It just happens. Because we're spending time with God, we're getting a download of his heart. It's like, you know, your wife says she wants to go overseas. That's a wide statement, eh? So where's overseas? So you need to unpack it. And if you're married to my wife, you know, she only does, you know, stars, 5 stars. You know, anything else, nothing under the stars, just 5 stars. So as you walk and you talk, you unpack this thing, and then you land up wherever, Japan or Paris, you know, wherever. But it's a journey of unpacking that and talking. And the same with, and there's a download from her side to explain what does it mean when she says she wants to go overseas and whatever she wants to do. And the same with God. God sometimes has got to wait for us, and we've got to get into a position, that's the fourth one, to receive God's answer. And we sort of get in position and we hear, and as he's speaking, we're getting to this point where we actually understand what he's telling us. And it really humbles us. Because we know we can't do it. You know, if you're praying for somebody for 13 years and not pregnant again, you know you can't do nothing. Huh? It's God. It's God's grace. It's his goodness. And God gets the glory. There are so many stories in the Old Testament, and I knew I'm not going to have time for that, so I didn't prep a lot around that. But just think about these. I'm just going to mention a couple of quick ones. So Moses is born in a little basket, got into the reeds, rescued by the princess, and then his mother spoke to him. And she taught. And she taught him all the things about Jewish. And somewhere in there, I can guarantee you, there was something in his spirit that downloaded that said, I'm going to deliver these people. You know? Because when he was 40 years old, he sees somebody and he starts deliverance. He just kills the Egyptian master. You know? Wrong time, wrong method, everything wrong. And he goes to the desert for 40 years. For 40 years, he's walking in the desert looking after the little sheep before God speaks to him again in the bush. He says, okay, it's time. In that 40 years, do you think he ever wondered? Do you think he ever prayed about it? In that 40 years? I think he did. I think he was wrestling with God. 40 years. He was a prince for the first 40 years of his life. And the next 40 years, he was a shepherd. 40 years. Sometimes it takes a month. Sometimes a year and 2 years, 3 years, 10 years. And we think it's a long time. There are people that have been praying for things for decades and decades. And they're still waiting to see the answer. And that's the beauty of prayer. Even if you die and me die today, the prayers we prayed still go on. God still acts on those prayers. It's not like when you die, all your prayers just get raptured with you. It is effective, and it still works. So there's this one story about this guy, can't remember the name. He's been praying for two of his friends for 40 years. Also, 40-year thing, so I was sick with the 40 years. And then in the end, like literally, he was in his, well, I think he died when he was 89. I read the story and I can't remember all the details. And just before he died, the one person gave his life to the Lord. And he was ecstatic. But the other one, he didn't see the other guy. But the other guy got saved a year or two after his death. He got saved. So, was his prayers effective? Yes. Did he see it? No. So often we want to see things. God is not, you know, it's the unseen. We can accomplish so much, you know, through our prayers. Our reward in heaven can be so great. Not that it's our reward, it's Jesus' reward, but you know what we've prayed for. Because it makes a difference. It really does make a difference. So Paul writes in Galatians 4 verse 2, he says, be persistent, the Amplified Bible, be persistent and devoted to prayer, being alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving. Being persistent. We need to be persistent. We need to learn to be persistent. Sometimes we've got tough things in our life and all God wants us to do is to be persistent and not to give up and just pray and pray and pray. That family friend or that family member that's, you know, whatever their issue is, that doesn't know God and is, you know, struggling with something or whatever, or relational issues or whatever, don't give up. Don't ever give up. Then the last thing, so this number one, this excuse, slide 19. Ask, seek, knock. Julle daai skrif jy al gehoor? In Afrikaans sê dit, bid, soek, klop. And the English is beautiful, because A-S-K, the first letter spells ask. All of it spell ask. A-S-K. Ask, knock, seek, and knock. We know the scripture. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. God is not a man that he's mocked. You know, I can say stuff, and I can say I'm going to do stuff, and it's not going to happen. You know, I'm human. I say I've got good intentions, you know, but I don't get to it. God is different. Whatever God says, you can bet your last dollar on it. His word is the truth. And he says, if we ask, we'll receive. If we knock, he will open. If we seek, we will find. So, the question is, what are you asking for? What should you be asking for that you haven't been asking for? What should you be seeking? And where should you be knocking? About what should you be knocking? So, are you praying for a loved one? Are you praying for financial breakthrough? What is the thing in your life that you need to continue asking? Because God's, the invitation is open. We ask. We can't do, but God does. God answers. He answers all our prayers. Some of the time, the answer is no. It's still an answer. So, you know, it's like, over my lifetime, I've prayed some really silly prayers, especially when I was younger, some really silly stuff, and I'm really thankful that God did not answer those silly prayers of mine. For me, it wasn't silly at the time. It was really serious stuff, but with maturity, I realized it was pretty silly, and I think God had a good chuckle when I asked those for those things. But the thing is, over time, I realized that, you know, he said no. That was actually the thing. If I pray long enough of it, that's the beauty of prayer and spending time in communion with God. And that's the thing. Jesus is our friend. We need to communicate with him. If there's no communication, we're not going to know that the answer is actually no. But if we spend time, we pray, we will know what God's answer is, whether it is his will or not his will. We just have to continue praying for the same thing. I need to do one last scripture, and I don't know where it is. I know it's here somewhere. Yeah, slide 15. Psalm 145 verse 19 and Psalm 37 verse 4 says pretty much the same thing. He says, he fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears the cries and saves them. And then it says in Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Befriend faithfulness. So that means be faithful. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, it's very simple. Sometimes the desires of our heart is just out of kilter with God's will. But it doesn't matter. It does not matter. If we bring it to God and we ask and we speak and we seek, God is going to move us in the right direction. If we stay silent and we don't do anything, we're just going to go on our own way. If we knew how little we could do, if we knew how much God could do, we'd be spending a lot more time in prayer. The devil has deceived us into thinking that we can do stuff. Where's Dirk's message, offering message, you know? So I said on LinkedIn, we can gather wealth, what all these things, and what does God says in Deuteronomy? Yeah. I gave you the strength. I made it work. It wasn't you. It was me. If we have pride and we think we can do things on our own, we're going to not pray. We're not going to pray. We're going to do it ourselves. That's exactly what the devil wants us to do, because then we're going to get tired and we're going to burn out and we're going to say it's God's fault and all those things. In the meantime, we're just actually not communicating with God. God wants us to communicate with Him. He wants an intimate relationship with Him. Like Ross preached 2 weeks ago, He wants to be our friend. His desire, there's a couple of scriptures I don't believe. He delights in us. The scripture says He delights in us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to hear what's on your heart. Go and read the Psalms. David, I love David. David is so brutally honest. He just calls a spade a spade. When it comes to God, Just say it. Just say it. Just respectfully to God, but just say it. You know, this person, wie was dit bekamp? Jannie. Wie van julle was bekamp? Toe Jannie gesê het, hè? Toe gesê het, hy staan op in die oggend en met die vir die Here sê, ja, excuse Here, ek wil hierdie ou dood maak. Ek weet ek is so kundig, ek weet ek moet hierdie goed doen, maar ek dink dit nog steeds. So, just bring those things before God, whatever it is. God can work through it. If we don't communicate with Him, then if we don't ask, if we don't open our hearts, we are closing ourselves from His working. I want you to, we all have things that we are praying for, right? We are all things, sometimes there's things that are really, what are those things? I want to, whatever it is on your heart, whatever weighs the heaviest, wat ek al die swaarste weeg. But if you've been praying for somebody for 20 years to get saved or married or whatever the issue is, a marriage or a relationship, just in tutus, while doing communion, just, you know, pray about it. Bring it before God. It talks about sins of commission and sins of omission. I don't know if you heard that before. Sins of commission is, I go and I slap Niku and I offend him. That's a sin of commission. I did it. A sin of omission is that I know that God wants to go and say, speak into his life or give him a word, and I decide I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pray for him. That's a sin of omission. So let us not sin in the omission this morning. Let us pray before God, because God hears, and God will do it. And like the rain, even though it's taking months and years, from where it's, you know, the decent rainfall we had, it was 3 years ago, you know, we continue praying. God is going to send the rain. God is going to send the answer. I just want to read Luke 22, 19 to 20. It's Jesus speaking. He says, and he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And this morning I want to say, there's so much we can remember of what Jesus did on earth. He died for us. But you know what? He said a lot of stuff. He said, ask and you receive. So when it says about bringing and remember, it's not just, there's a lot of stuff we can remember about Jesus. So when you remind, you remember that. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Jesus' blood still speak. His body was broken. It's done on the cross. Through our prayers, we make the difference in partnership with God. Can't do it on our own, but God can do it if we pray. Amen. So while the elements are being distributed, I'm just going to quickly pray for us. Father, we thank you, Father, that you're a good, good Father, Lord, that you are faithful, that you are just, that you have compassion over us, Father. You're not like the unrighteous judge, Father. You care for us. You know our needs. You know our desires, Father God. And this morning, Father, I just ask you for grace, Lord, for all of us, Father, in Jesus' name, just to be able to get to that place, Lord, where just we continually ask, Lord, and we seek, and we knock, Lord, and that we do not give up, Lord God. Like that widow, Lord God, that we will be persistent, Father God, in seeking answers from you, Lord God. And thank you, Father, that we can just open our hearts, Lord, and say, speak to us, Lord, and we are willing to change, Father, because we know, Lord, as we pray, that you're going to change us, Father. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.